Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Real good.
It's good to be back.
Well, we're
again.
Back. Yeah. The week really went fast.
We're back for another week.
Another good show of teaching from the Word. And if you were with us last week, we did a teaching from Luke chapter 5. And just to put it in a very quick nutshell summary, Jesus is preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's got a big crowd, and he's teaching, I'm sure, what was an awesome word, great teaching. And the people were excited, and the gospel says that they were pressing in to hear what he had to say. And Peter and James and John had been working all night. They were physically exhausted, and they were on the shore cleaning their net, because, of course, after you're done fishing, you got to kind of clean the net, I guess, and get it ready for when you're going to work the next day. So they had worked third shift that day, and you know, they were kind of listening to Jesus' sermon. They were really tired. They were working on the nets. And then Jesus gets in Peter's boat, and he pulls away a little bit, and he's teaching the crowd from the boat, which he sometimes did. You know, there's some other gospels that mention that too.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he tells these tired guys, put out into the deep, go out into the deep part of the lake, and put your nets down for a catch. And we talked about how they did it based on his calling. They did it based on faith, even though they were tired, even though they had been doing it all night. They went back to the place in the lake where they just were, and they lowered their nets, and they got this huge catch of fish, to the point where the nets were going to break, the boat was going to sink, and they had to call some other people who, I guess, were also out on the sea fishing. They were working first shift, and they had them come over and help them with this big catch.
Right.
So they saw this amazing miracle that had happened because Jesus told them to get back out in the field, to get back out on the water. The deep represented a big area where a big harvest was going to be brought in. It was representing the world, representing a place where lots and lots of fish, or by analogy, people were living, and that someone had to go out and bring them in.
Right.
With the net of the gospel, people had to be brought to Jesus. And they went out into this deep, and we pointed out that it was kind of like when Jesus talked about the harvest in the field. This was in the water. He commonly talked about the fields are ripe for the harvest, and that you need more workers to bring in the harvest. And we're all workers out there bringing in the harvest. We've talked many times on this show how we're here at this time in history to bring in the harvest that's here.
Right.
And whether the Lord's going to come back in 2 days or 2 years or 200 years, we are here now to bring in the harvest that
is before us.
The fields are always ripe.
Right.
There's always people that need to hear. And these guys, it wasn't about them. It wasn't about them being tired. It wasn't about the fact that they had worked all night and not caught anything. They went out at his command, and they got this great catch of fish. And when this happened, Peter just was blown away. I don't know what the Hebrew version of that would be, but he was blown away, because he realized that this was a supernatural event that had occurred. Jesus, who was there with them, had supernaturally caused this to happen. And Peter realized that he was an inadequate, sinful man. You know, he says, depart from me because I'm a sinful man.
Right.
I'm not worthy. I'm not adequate for this. I'm not worthy to even be here with you. And, you know, it's kind of like Isaiah in chapter 6 where he sees the vision of God in the temple and he says, oh, I'm doomed. I can't deal with this. You know, I always say he comes apart at the seams. You know, Isaiah was a real holy guy following the Lord and, you know, was a prophet. But this vision of God's glory was too much for Isaiah. He came apart at the seams, too. And here we have poor Peter, you know, who was not nearly as holy as Isaiah. Yeah. He was just kind of, whoa, because now he sees this unbelievable miracle happen. And he realizes that this Jesus of Nazareth that's standing there with him, that he just heard preach a teaching, is Lord over this water, is Lord over the earth, is Lord over these fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's Lord over everything. And he called me to get in the boat and go do something for it.
Right. You know, it's interesting that, like last week we were saying, he calls him master. And for the first time in the Gospels, that word is used.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls him master before this happens,
mm-hmm.
just at the command that Jesus gives. He calls him master.
Yes.
And then after it happens, he prostrates himself mm-hmm. really before him.
Right.
Seeing the holiness and the glory of God,
yes.
and really seeing his sinfulness.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, we give Peter kind of a hard time sometimes on this show, but this is pretty cool here.
He's probably going to have a word or two for you when you meet him.
That's okay. I'll just be happy to be there.
I've always been on his side. But it is interesting that when Jesus makes that command, he calls him master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, they hadn't been following him for too long yet. And then when this happens, you know, he says, you know, depart from me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does it mean to call someone Lord?
Yeah, good
First
point.
First he calls him master, and then he says Lord.
Yeah, good point.
You know, because Lord is, you know, your master is somebody that gives you orders and
mm-hmm.
orders you around, but Lord,
mm-hmm.
that's someone who is Lord of your life.
Mm-hmm.
They have dominion over you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very profound progression that happens there in a short period of time.
Yes.
Before the miracle happened and then right after the miracle, you know, that Peter calls him master before and then Lord after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on Jewish law and the Jewish word and the Jewish tradition, you didn't go around calling people Lord.
No.
I mean, you didn't call a human being Lord. I mean,
not at all.
This is an amazing insight that Peter has into this because of what he's just seen.
Mm-hmm.
And like you point out, there's a big difference between master and Lord.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we left off last week, we were at the point of, at this point really, that they were all astounded at what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once this happens, you know, Jesus says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he uses that element of what they're familiar with.
Right.
To put out into the deep water
mm-hmm.
and catch this great harvest of fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus is telling him, now you're going to be catching men.
Yeah. And they understood about catching fish.
Yeah.
And they probably didn't really understand what he was talking about when they're going to be fishers of men. They're going to be catching men.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they did in their normal job. And, you know, the Jesus is basically telling them, I'm going to use you for something much bigger than putting out into this deep water and catching a whole lot of fish.
Yeah.
I mean, catching fish is good for your business and, you know. It's great that your business is prospering, but you're going to be doing something way bigger than this.
Yeah.
They're going to be apostles. They're going to be messengers. They're going to be preachers. They're going to be evangelists. They're going to be literally changing the world.
right,
and bringing people into the kingdom. And this was just a foretaste of what was going to happen.
And it was, it was really at the, shall we say, infancy of when things were starting to happen in not only in Jesus's life and ministry, but mm-hmm. the, you know, his followers, you know, as it says in the next sentence, when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.
Yes.
This is really when they started to follow Jesus. They mm-hmm. left, now they left their livelihood
mm-hmm.
to follow this man,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah.
That's right. Left their business.
They left their business.
Their occupation.
Everything mm-hmm. to follow the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. They probably were doing the same business that their father did and his father did and
right.
had taught them the trade.
Right.
That this is how you fish. This is how you fix the nets. This is where you put the net. This is the kind of boat you need. And all of a sudden saying, you know, this fishing business, compared to what we just saw and compared to what we know that this man who I've just called Lord is, our fishing business doesn't really amount to much compared to that.
Right. I mean, in these two sentences, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much
mm-hmm.
in those two sentences
yeah.
that I think we should really expound upon a little bit here to I think get a broader perspective of when the Lord calls you into ministry, when the Lord's calling you and he draws you near to him, there are things that happen that there are things that happened in my life that I didn't quite understand until years later. And you see that. You see
yeah.
that that's a consistent thing. And I think in our world, you know, we go to school, we're educated, go through grade school, through high school, mm-hmm. we go to college, and we're prepared for doing an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing in ministry, that there's a, you know, there's a calling, there's a time of preparation, and there's a time of sending out. But there's always that, you know, even in our secular jobs, there's always continuing education.
Sure, yeah, in every profession.
Every profession, there's always continuing education. And it's true even when, especially true, even in preaching the gospel.
Right.
Because there's so much to learn. I mean, the more that I study the Bible and I study the Word of God, and there's so much more that I realize that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the longer I'm walking with the Lord, the more I realize I don't know this. I don't know something, and sometimes I think, you know, am I really, you know? But you have to stay where what the Lord's given you.
Yeah,
you know, you go by what the Lord has given
and
you.
And look how many times you may hear the same passage of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do you hear about the prodigal son, or the woman at the well, or
right.
this story that we
have
just
we heard
went
about up. The woman at the well?
We did, and or the you know, putting out into the deep. You know, you may have heard this, you may have read this 18 times, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody else teaching about it, or you read another commentary about it, and you say, "Whoa, I didn't realize that's what this was."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's the Holy Spirit who breathes out the word. You know, the word is a living, breathing presence. It's the breath of the Spirit. And,
yeah.
it, you know, when you're, as we always say, when you're docile to the Spirit and you let him come into you and you let him flow through you and you read the word and you see something that you haven't seen before and you see a connection of this to something else that you read about in a totally different book and you say, wow, this is really awesome. And
right.
it's always happening.
Always.
And
yeah.
whether you're 20 years old or 80 years old, you're always going to get new insights into it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And these guys had no idea what was going to happen that morning. They thought they were going to go to bed.
Right. And get up next morning and go
yeah.
out and cast their nets again.
Yeah. And, you know, here was a carpenter and, you know, kind of an itinerant preacher telling him how to fish. You know, and Peter could have said, listen, I don't know how what you guys do in Nazareth when it comes to catching fish, but we know how to catch fish here.
Yeah.
And this isn't how you do it. But, you know, it's it kind of reminds me too that later on, Jesus will say, the things you've seen me do, you're going to do, and you're going to do more than that.
Right.
So when Peter, and let's use Peter again, because, you know, I like him again now, but let's use Peter again. You know, Peter hears this, from now on, you're going to be catching men. From now on, you're going to be fishers of men. And you hear something like that, and he's probably thinking, oh, good. I don't know. What does that mean?
Right.
But okay, if you say so, you seem to be pretty powerful, authoritative guy.
Right.
So, okay. But, you know, when you fast forward to Pentecost morning, where Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, goes out and starts preaching, and he catches 3,000 men slash fish.
Right.
Just like he did when he put the net into the deep.
Right.
In 20, 30 minutes of preaching, he brings 3,000 people into the net.
Right.
Now he's got the net of the gospel, not a net that you catch fish in, mm-hmm. but it's equivalent.
Right.
And what's happened here is Jesus is getting them ready for what their mission is going to be.
Right.
You know, first he was teaching. You know, he was there preaching while they were cleaning their nets. Then there was this amazing miracle, this amazing sign that happened mm-hmm. that confirmed his authority. And then he sends them out.
Right.
He says, okay, now you're going to go out and catch men. You're going to go out and be fishers of men. And they're sitting there saying, wow, an hour ago, we just wanted to clean the nets and go to bed.
And we have all these fish in our boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we have to look at it in the context of what had just taken place. Mm-hmm. I mean, put yourself in that situation. Your boat's overflowing with fish. You're astounded by what just happened. And at the same time, if someone is telling you, well, you're going to be fishers of men, would you really comprehend all that at once?
No. I don't think so.
No. And I think if we look through the whole Gospels, we see that they walked with the Lord for 3 years. And even up to the time that Jesus was telling them that, you know, the Son of Man was going to have to suffer and mm-hmm. die. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand it at all.
Oh, so, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah. So these, you know, as you're talking about the scene at Pentecost, you have to wonder if Peter thought back to that day in the boat.
Yeah.
You know?
But I thought about a lot of things. Whew. Wow, that's awesome. Well, we're coming up on the first break here on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We want to remind you that Steve and I have a website that's now up, www.giftofgraceministries.org, giftofgraceministries.org. And keep checking in on that, and you'll find some Bible teachings. You'll hear some archive files from this radio show, some teachings that Steve has put together, some teachings that I've put together, and keep checking in. It's under construction. We'll be right back with you.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout.
One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Just as you are before your God, come, 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 oh, come, oh, come, come.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace, everyone, on The Word 1220. Steve and I are in the middle of a teaching and coming, I guess, to the end of a teaching where we're going to transition into another, a different teaching that's partially based on this. And Luke chapter 5, we've been going through the fishermen, Peter, James, and John, casting out into the deep being the important part of that, and having this huge catch of fish, and Jesus having done a teaching and then confirming his authority by this miracle, and then says that he's going to send them out in a way that they're going to become fishers of men. And this is a prelude to what's going to be evangelization. This is a prelude. The fish, the fields, you know, the wheat in the fields, the fish in this deep thing are all analogies for the world, that we're all the workers in the field and we're all the people in the boat. And, you know, some of us are out in the field, you know, chopping down wheat with one of those thingamabobbers, you know, sickles or scythes or whatever. And some people are in a boat just like throwing the nets out. And either way, it's a harvest. It's a bringing of people into the kingdom. It's evangelization. And Jesus uses these awesome analogies of, you know, crops and fish. And, you know, these people have had, you know, people who evangelize have had a personal experience with Jesus. We've all had that. Right. You know, if you're a born again believer, you know, you've had a personal experience with Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your God, as the Creator, as the Lord of the universe, and you've felt a calling to do something that he wants you to do.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah, and it's, you know, I'm reminded of in the first letter of John, which we talked about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on this show. It's kind of neat because John says, you know, we knew Jesus personally. We hung out with him. We talked with him. We heard him. We saw him. We touched him. We ate with him.
Right.
You know, we sat around and at Starbucks together. And, you know, he's the God of the universe, and we got to hang out with him. So now we're working for him.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what's going to happen to these guys. You know, he's a carpenter. You know, I heard he's a pretty good carpenter. He makes really nice stuff. And he's a good preacher. He teaches with authority, and man, he got in the boat, and all of a sudden, we have 10,000 fish.
Yeah,
and then he tells us we're going to be catching men. So you know, when he prompts us to do something from now on, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the lead in to what Christianity is all about, which is to bring people to that saving knowledge,
right,
of
into
Jesus.
The kingdom.
To bring people into the kingdom. And he uses this as an example of evangelization.
Right.
And we're living in a world now where, you know, we're basically in a post-Christian society. We don't, you know, we talk about it here. People talk about it on the street. People in Europe are very proud that they're a post-Christian. You know, they kind of brag about it.
Yeah.
We're not too far behind.
No, we're not. We're on their heels.
You know, we now have to go out into even deeper water. We have to go out into even bigger fields with maybe fewer workers than we would have had 50 years ago.
Exactly.
And certainly 500 years ago to bring in the harvest.
Right. You know, when you're talking about that, about this call to evangelize, evangelization, and that, you know, that last sentence on verse 11, when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked before on the show about how Jesus did not hold back anything from when he drank the cup that was for our salvation.
Yes.
He didn't, you know, he went the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Luke, these men who were fishermen saw this miracle happen. And it so astounded them that, you know, as we were saying, you know, Simon Peter first calls Jesus master, mm-hmm. then he calls him Lord.
Yeah.
And now they've left everything to follow him.
Mm-hmm. Can you just say something about what we were talking about off the air and during the break about those two things?
About
this was pretty cool about master and Lord.
You know, yeah, the Lord just showed that to me right there when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Because master is one thing, Lord is a totally different. Is the Lord Lord of your life. It's Lord over all creation.
Yeah.
And you know, like we were saying, you know, the Holy Spirit shows us. He teaches us.
Yeah.
Well, I've read through this passage.
Yeah.
How many times?
Yeah, me too.
And
it's two times before we got the show ready.
Exactly. So we're kind of both, you know, on break sitting here going, wow, that was just awesome.
Yeah,
thanks, Lord.
Yeah.
But that's how God works. That's how the Holy Spirit works.
Yes.
And to go with this about leaving everything and following Jesus. You know, Jesus says that anybody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some passages of scripture that are very confrontive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no.
Yeah.
He is the word of God. He spoke truth. And as we read those words, you know, if someone starts to build something and they don't really go and calculate what it's going to cost mm-hmm. them to build it, don't finish.
Yeah, he talks about that too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he talks about the builder, even the farmer. You know, if somebody was a farmer, they would be in a field harvesting, mm-hmm. bringing grain and you know their harvest into their barns,
mm-hmm.
into the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus uses all of these images to talk about the harvest that's going to be brought into the kingdom.
Yeah.
That no matter what their occupation was, they could understand this where, you know, from their own mindset where they're at, which is really, really kind of cool.
Great teacher.
Yeah.
Using examples that everyone he's talking to would understand. You know, if you're talking to people in an agricultural society and you say, well, you know, there's this big harvest out there. There's this big wheat field and we need people to go cut the wheat down. They say, yeah, we get that. We go cut wheat down.
Yeah,
you know, here you're talking to fishermen. Say, go out into the deep there and we're going to make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
Go, oh, we understand that. We understand deep water. We understand fish.
Right.
I don't know how we're going to fish for men, but we understand the basics of it.
Right.
And it's pretty neat. And like we said, it's not about us, you know, it's, he uses those examples and calls us in a way that's at our own level. Now we're very sophisticated 21st century people. And, you know, most of us aren't fishermen and most of us aren't farmers, but, you know, he calls us in different ways, but in ways that impact us personally and, you know, encourage us to go out and do something in a way that's meant for us at our level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, as we've talked about before, there's different ways that the Lord calls us, or there's different, you know, different ministries that the Lord calls everybody to, or in different areas that as you work or you know, whatever your occupation is. But in that, I know many times in my life that I've seen the Lord use something that I've was instructed in, mm-hmm. you know, either whether it was playing an instrument mm-hmm. or learning how to fly an airplane or even the basics of being dragged into the ocean and not seeing how far out I was, you know, didn't have any idea of how to swim. See, and then when you get out of your element, you really don't understand what danger you're in.
Yeah. So. I love that story.
But in God uses all those things that we've encountered and experienced. He can use those to reach someone, and especially our own. You know, when we enter into a trial or a tribulation, he can really use something like that to really bring compassion to someone else who is going it through that same thing, and then we can share the gospel with that person in love,
mm-hmm.
and they can come to salvation
mm-hmm.
into Jesus.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, on that same note, since he comes to us in a way that we understand, and as we saw how he comes to these fishermen and how he comes to the people that work in the land, you know, and he comes to us in different ways, it's shows you the fact that when we're called to do it, we're called to do it in a way that he's going to empower us based on our experience.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to, you know, we're not, you know, my mission in life is not to learn how to play music and do worship music like you do. And your mission in life is not to do what, you know, Joe over there is doing in, you know, New Guinea, translating the Bible into some language. Because, you know, we each have our parts.
Right.
But we each have talents. We each have charisms from the Holy Spirit that he's going to use, and they're going to be given to us in a way to do what we have to do.
Exactly.
And in our age now, you know, we're not going to really be preaching to fishermen, and we're not going to really be preaching to farmers, and for the most part, we're going to be preaching to computer people and to technical people and to people who have a lot more knowledge than the people that Jesus spoke with did.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're smarter. We just know more stuff. We have different experiences, but the, you know, this outreach that he's prefiguring to Peter, James, and John, you know, based on these go out into the deep and with the net and bring the fish in, it's the same. You know, we have to go out and do an outreach in a different way. You know, we don't go out there with nets and sickles and do the thing. But we have to go out there in a different way.
Right.
And, you know, we preach the gospel in a way that we have to do it from the experience we've had when we've experienced him as Savior and our hearts and minds have been transformed. And we have to preach it in a way that people see us and say, wow, he really believes that. Wow, this clearly has really impacted him. Or, wow, he seems to be really excited about this. And, it, you know, we have to present it to people in a way that impacts them, because the power there is not in what we're saying or I should say what we're doing or whether we're jumping up and down and waving our arms. The power there is in what we're saying.
Right.
That's why, you know, Paul always talks about, you know, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel.
Right.
You know, I don't have anything except the gospel.
Right.
You know, I preach nothing but Christ and Christ crucified.
I was just,
you know, I have nothing to boast about.
Right.
I'm not here to tell you all these mathematical formulas that'll show you Jesus is Lord. I'm not here to show you all these legal arguments to show you that. I'm just here to preach the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, Paul says, I don't come with elegant words.
Right.
I come preaching Christ and him crucified.
Right.
You know, and that was the power.
Yes. And people see us and they say, you know, I know Phil and Steve. They're just a couple of regular, weak human beings. And how do they do all this stuff? You know, how do they do worship music? And how do they do Bible studies? And how do they do the Gift of Grace radio show or whatever, or whatever it is.
Has anybody asked you that lately?
No. No. But you know, we really have nothing to boast about.
Right. Because we're really, you know, Jesus says, the Lord's given us something to do. We're to carry out that command. We're unprofitable servants.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that, I think, leads a long way into ministry as to, you know, I'm only going to give a word to somebody when I get a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to expound upon it to try and explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I think I have more wisdom than God has. You know, and far be it from me, for the Lord, you know, I've seen it many times where, mm-hmm. Somebody's gotten a vision or somebody gives somebody a word and they give it to the person. And that person, just like Peter seeing that net,
mm-hmm.
full of fish. He didn't ask the Lord, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What, you know, what's going to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do any of that. And Jesus didn't offer any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He just let it be. And sometimes when we're ministering to people, we need to, you know, we give a word. If the Lord's given us something, the Lord's going to work out all that.
Yeah.
Give it, let it bear fruit.
Yeah.
And let it turn into a harvest.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that's the basis of this story we just read.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say story. This gospel passage we just read. This is exactly what it's about.
Right.
I mean, Peter, James, and John were not planning to go back out at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or whatever this was.
No.
They weren't planning to do anything that day other than finish cleaning the nets and go to bed.
And get up next morning and go back fishing.
That's right. And now Jesus tells them, get in the boat, get the net, go out there, put the nets down. Totally out of what they were planning to do. But they did it with faith. They surrendered to it. They said, well, if he's telling us to do it, we're going to do it. He's the master. He's the Lord. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, in their human weakness, they respond to his call.
Right.
And he uses them in their occupation to do this amazing thing.
Right. Yeah. And one of the other, I think, awesome parables that is in the Bible is the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
Because it talks about where we are at,
mm-hmm.
in our relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. the condition of our heart. And, you know, when the word of God falls upon our heart, and this had to be true for the disciples as well. Their hearts, I mean, they were looking for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And as we grow and we learn, you know, our hearts become more sensitive to God.
Yes.
And as the word of God falls upon our heart, has our heart been cultivated to be that good and fertile soil,
mm.
that we're going to bear 100 or 30, 60, 100-fold yield?
Wow.
You know?
Wow. That's very good.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's always, and we're always progressing in that. We're always moving along.
Right.
We're not the same now as we were a week ago or a year ago.
Right.
10 years ago.
Should always be growing.
Always be growing. Well, we're coming up on another break. Awesome. We'll let you listen to some awesome Christian music, and we'll be back with you in just a minute here on The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace. This is Phil Giuliotti with Stephen Garchar. We're going, finishing up our teaching on Luke chapter 5 that we started last week and have been going through this week's show. And before we run out of time, I want to remind everyone again about our website, which is www.giftofgraceministries.org. And you can also find us on Facebook. So we're getting so high tech that we can't even believe it.
We have no idea what we're doing with these
sites. But we're putting out into the deep. That's another example of putting out into the deep. And, you know, the evangelization that comes from that, you know, in spite of our human weaknesses, we've become new creations. Just like these fishermen, you know, they were fishermen,
right?
Weak. Peter's coming apart at the seams, but they become new creations that Jesus is now going to use for evangelization. And it's the same with us.
Right.
So we put out into the deep when we go out into this dark culture, this dark world that we live in, and tell people about the Lord and about grace and about mercy and about God's law and about redemption. You know, we're not always met with a lot of enthusiasm.
No, not always.
Who are you to say?
But you know what?
Yeah.
But when you said one thing before, when you encounter God's love,
mm-hmm.
you can share with someone what that love is like.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it's very, you're at a loss for words to describe the height and mm-hmm. the breadth and yes. the depth and the length of God's love because it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming that you just, you know, one thing that yearns in my heart is that I just want people to experience that embrace of
exactly.
God's love.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's not, do I love worshiping and singing songs and praising God? Yes. But it's about getting people into the presence of God that they can mm-hmm. experience that love of God mm-hmm. because that's going to change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my singing that's going to change their lives. It's not my instrument playing.
No, because the Lord uses everything like we yeah. just talked about.
Yeah. You know, there's some days where, you know, your voice is just not the same as others, but mm-hmm. it's by God's grace. And, you know, that's, you know, when someone experiences the love of God, that's when their life has changed.
Yes.
That's when my life changed.
And mine.
Because it was that call. And I knew that I had to follow.
Yes.
You know, I knew I had to follow.
Yes.
And in that progression, the Lord does ask you to give up things.
Sure.
You know, there's that call to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so interesting that in that passage of Luke, they left everything and followed him.
Yeah.
I mean, they left everything. You know, they left their livelihood.
Their business.
You know, they just had all this fish to put out on market and they left them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, lives are changed, and that's, you know, this is why I always love testimonies.
Exactly.
Because nobody can take your testimony from you.
Right.
I mean, no one can come and say, oh, you know what? I don't believe you. I don't think you're telling me the truth, but you know what you were like. You know something happened, and you know what you're like now.
Mm-hmm.
You can find people. We both can find. I find lots of people that used to work with me years ago, and they see me now, and they say, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are you doing on a Christian radio station?
Yeah.
What are you doing carrying a Bible around? What are you doing? Because I didn't used to do that.
And I think that in itself is a witness to them
yeah.
that some transformation took place
yes.
in this person's life that I used to know who was a heathen.
Yeah, and, yeah that's right.
Myself included.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're seeing you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at you like, what happened?
Yeah. What happened to you?
You know, what's going on here?
We liked you better before.
I hope not. But anyway, as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit, and that's really, you know, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, that's really the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will transform us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we gaze upon the face of Jesus,
mm.
and that's one of the things, you know, when we were talking about Luke 5, that Duc in Altum.
Mm-hmm.
Pope John Paul II wrote an awesome teaching, an apostolic letter called Novo Millennio Innuente. And it was about the great jubilee year of 2000. And if you're listening, if you're listening, I would just encourage you to maybe go to the Vatican website and just read it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's
doesn't matter what denomination
it doesn't
you're
matter
in.
What
you
denomination you should read it because I know we've both talked to pastors and they've read some of mm-hmm. these writings and they said, boy, if people taught on this,
yes.
the church would really be renewed.
Yes.
And like yourself, I've seen God's Holy Spirit work within many different denominations.
Mm-hmm.
God's bigger than what we've done to the church on earth.
Yes. Just like Peter called his friends to come over, the other guys yeah. to come over and help him.
Yeah. There was so much there they needed help. So, but he talks about, gazing upon the face of Christ and really coming to a place, of seeing myself before God.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people may not know about, one of the things that Pope John Paul II did much in his papacy was ask for forgiveness for mm-hmm. the past sins of the church. I think there's probably about 93 times where he publicly asked for forgiveness mm-hmm. for the sins of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Holy Father to do that, that's a real act of humility. Knowing that, yeah, we messed up. And I think as a follower of the Lord, I know there's many times every day that I mess up and I have to constantly go before the Lord and seek his face and ask for his forgiveness. But if I'm gazing upon the face of Christ and I'm seeking the face of the Lord, then that allows me to be transformed to the one that I'm gazing upon.
Yes.
You know, that's why worship is so important, because what you worship is what you become.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and if you're worshiping God, you're going to become like God. Yes. You're not going to be God,
right.
but you're going to be transformed yeah. into that, by God's presence.
And you can bet that when Peter saw all these fish in the net and saw the boat about to sink and saw all these things happening, you can bet that he looked at Jesus in the face before he fell down. And, you know, you just mentioned about contemplating the face of Jesus. I mean, I can't even imagine how he would have reacted to this. Not only this incident, but many other yeah. incidents that were about to unfold, where he just looked at Jesus and said, whoa.
Yeah.
And then he realized he was unworthy of all of this. And, you know, you talk about repenting and apologizing and, you know, asking forgiveness. You know, contemplating the face of Christ brings that out in all of us, because
mm-hmm.
we realize, you know, what we are and what our condition is
right.
in front of him, and, you know, in comparison to what we should be.
Right. And in a busy, hectic world,
mm-hmm.
we need to take the time to slow ourselves down
yeah.
and contemplate that.
Yeah.
Because in our world, we can really get caught up into the hustle and bustle sure. of everyday life.
Sure.
And it's very easy to do. And at times, we got to go back. You know, we got to take time and go to that inner place, or that private place.
Yeah.
Our private room.
Even Jesus did that.
Even Jesus did that. It wasn't all about ministry, because in ministry, if you're always doing stuff, and you're really not taking the time to pray and really discern mm-hmm. what God's asking you mm-hmm. to do, you'll go off and do your own thing.
You can just be real busy.
You can be real busy. And you can never even get closer to the Lord. You know, that mm-hmm. that happens, that'll happen in ministry if you don't take the time to pray.
Yeah.
You know, but we cannot fail to give thanks for the marvels the Lord has worked for us. You know, it's really from Psalm 89.
Mm.
We always have to give thanks for the marvels that God has worked for us.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's another way too of witness to people. You know, when they see us doing things, when they hear us say, you know, I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he's done for me. You know, people don't usually think that way when they hear us say things like that. Mm-hmm. Like when you say, I just thank the Lord for the musical ability he's given me. But you say, no, the Lord gave me this talent.
Yeah.
And it's another witness.
I have to develop it.
Yeah,
the Lord
of course.
Gave it.
Wow. End of another show.
Yeah.
We have about 3 more hours to do on this last topic. But, wow, it's been great being with you again, and always good being here with Steve.
As you are. Yeah. As with you.
And hope you have an awesome evening tonight and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow, and we'll be back with you next week.
Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.